God reveals himself is in this realm of a father. Very little is said in the Old Testament about the fatherhood of God. In fact, it's only mentioned 3 or 4 times. Texts like this you're familiar with. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father. Again, Isaiah tells us that the children of Israel said, Thou art our Father, and we are thy children. I think if there's one passage in the Old Testament that seems to summarize this emphasis of God as a Father, it's found in Psalm 103. I must confess, for a long time, I couldn't get past the first verse of this psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Of course, that is a pretty good place to get hung up, isn't it? But I was wrapping the psalm around that verse. And I have seen the psalm in a different light. I believe it's divided into 2 sections, verses 1 through 19, and then verses 20 through 22. But in the middle of that first section, we have these words in verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Here our God is set forth as a father who is filled with tender sympathies towards his people, towards them that fear him, towards his children. Several songs tonight have been particularly precious to me. They sang earlier, I'm a child of the King. And of course, the King is our Father, our Heavenly Father. Then in one of the other songs, our sister, as she sang, the Lord is the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm your child and you're my father. And then Brother Kelly sings, before I bring the message tonight, I believe I'll go home and eat with my father. So I feel that the way has been paved for me to preach what's in my heart tonight. I'd like to say some things around this text about our Heavenly Father and His tenderness. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Now, it could be that you had a terrible home life. It could be that you have bad memories of your father. But those of us who have had a good home life and a good relationship with our Father can certainly enjoy even the more the message of our God being our Father. I thought this afternoon, I've got a good Father. My daddy's a good daddy. And I thought, if my earthly father is as good to me as he's been, where does that put me in relationship to my Heavenly Father? That's the picture of this chapter. And I want to begin going back to verse number 1. I want you to notice with me our Heavenly Father and His tender compassion. His tender compassion. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And then he began to enumerate some of these benefits. Firstly, he says, who forgiveth all thine iniquity. Now the word iniquity here is the word that we know as the word wrong. We use it, somebody says, well, he did wrong. It indicates perverseness. It indicates something that is crooked. It indicates something that is bent the wrong way. And the psalmist said, he forgiveth all our iniquity. I thought even in my relationship to my girls as a father. And isn't it strange? I don't understand this. How your children pick up all your bad points. So it almost makes you believe you don't have any good points. But you know what we as parents do when our children do wrong? I tell you what I do. I speak to them about it. If necessary, there's some judgment carried out about it. But often, I'll say, I don't want you to do it again. Forgiving their wrong. Not to overlooking it, but forgiving it. Well, every time I look at one of my girls, I don't bring up something that happened 3 years ago. Then why is it that so many saints feel that God is looking at something that happened 3 or 4 years ago? Oh, His tender compassion is manifested in relationship to our wrong. He not only says that His compassion is experienced in our wrong, but He says His compassion is experienced in our weaknesses. He not only forgiveth all our iniquities, but He healeth all thy diseases. In your weakness, in your sickness, in your areas of lack and deficiency, He becomes your healer. He has compassion not only towards your wrong, but He has compassion towards your weakness. Now, there's not a father here tonight who, if you receive a message that your daughter or your son had fallen drastically ill and was at Greenville Memorial or some other hospital within driving distance tonight, there's not a father here that would not leave the service immediately and move in the direction of that sick child. I say tonight, we do not have just a judge in heaven or a God who is creator only, but we have a heavenly Father who is tender and is kind and pitiful in dealing with His weak children. It could be you're here tonight and you feel spiritually sick. You feel spiritually deficient. That may be why you came, is you felt in your soul a lack, a want for spiritual nutrition and spiritual encouragement. I'd like to encourage you tonight to look to our Heavenly Father, who is filled with tender compassion towards our weakness. Notice furthermore, He talks about His compassion as experienced in our wrong and in our weakness, but He also mentions our waywardness. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Having gone astray, our Father has tender compassion towards us, brings us back under the covert of His mercy and His loving kindness. Verse 5 adds, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. When we have wandered out in self-indulgences and paths of our own choosing, and we're brought back from our waywardness, He redeems us, our life, that is, from destruction, and crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, and satisfies our mouth with good things. In fact, He adds in verse 5, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. This wayward child is nurtured back to health by the tender compassion of our God, who is our Heavenly Father. Then we come to verse number 6, down to verse number 12. We have a second emphasis about our Heavenly Father and His tenderness. We've looked at His tender compassion. I want you to look secondly at His tender conduct or activity. Verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for
for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Now, God's conduct, God's action, God's movement, God's operation is filled with tenderness. But that tenderness is not unattended. That tenderness does not go wild at times and undirected, but it is governed by his righteousness. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. It's not that the Lord is just doing to be doing, but he's doing what's right. He's doing what's just. He's doing what pleases him. Oh my, I say his conduct then, his tender conduct is governed by his righteousness. Notice not only is his tender character or conduct manifested under his government. And it's possible for a human father to go overboard. While we've given our children things that later we wish we hadn't. We've said things that later we wish we hadn't. But our Heavenly Father's conduct is governed by his righteousness. He never does too less. He never does too much. Then notice, if you will, secondly, not only the government of his tender conduct, but the goodness of his tender conduct. Verse 8 and 9, the Lord is merciful and gracious. I love this next little phrase. Slow to anger. And plenteous, that means he's got a whole lot of them. Plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. You know what that is, don't you? Why did you do that? I'm tired of you doing that. I'm going to do something. And we just keep chide, bring it up, chide. And causing more chaos than the action that has already been performed. But God will not chide. He'll not get aggravated. He is not quick to judge. God doesn't fly off the handle. God's temper is not wild and ungoverned, but he works gently and kindly and patiently in dealing with. I thought tonight, as Brother Kelly began the service with the song, and I turned around and looked at the crowd and thought how many could be elsewhere tonight, and yet they're here. And then it came to my heart, why, you could be a lot of other places too. That was a time when I wasn't interested in being in a service like this. It was the last thing on my mind. But God was patient. I'm here tonight because of the patience and the goodness of God. God, the Lord, is not slack concerning his promise to usward, but he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Simon Peter wrote that. I've often wondered if he had some of his back life in mind as the Holy Ghost moved him to pen that. But he is long-suffering to usward, he wrote. What about when Simon Peter was sinking on the Sea of Galilee? Simon Peter now looks back at it and says, he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. I say that I'm here tonight, you're here tonight, because of God's patience, and because of God's forbearance, and because of God's kindness and long-suffering. Blessed be his name for being such a good father. I don't know about you, but the Lord has been good to me. Amen. In fact, I don't plan on stopping now. The Lord has been so good to me, I feel like traveling on.
Amen.
I'm talking about our Heavenly Father and His tender conduct. He has a government in His conduct. It's righteousness. He has goodness in His conduct. He's patient, not always tidy. And then the Bible added in verse 9, neither will He keep His anger forever. Well, there's some folks sitting right here tonight that have a bitter spirit towards their children or towards their father. In fact, you may have said, I'm willing to go to my grave with it. I just tell you, it's uncalled for and unnecessary. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, our Heavenly Father is not a father that keeps His anger forever. But He is patient and good with a people of our sort. Oh my, I say our Heavenly Father is full of pity for His children. We see His tenderness manifested in compassion. We see His tenderness manifested in His conduct. Notice a third aspect of His conduct. He not only conducts Himself in His government and in His goodness, but He is tender towards us in His conduct, thirdly, because of His grace. Look, if you will, in verse number 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Oh, Lord. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Boy, isn't it something that what we can never forget, God can't remember? He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Now, I know people, and you know people, who major in reminding us of our past. I was preaching in a church in my hometown, and young woman who was in school with my wife came up to me after the service, and she's not in church, but she came, I guess, out of curiosity. And she said, but there's some of us that know how you and your wife used to be. Yeah. See, they spoke to love to pull things out of the closets of our past. They love to shake things in our face. They love to bring it out in the open. There's people in the church that love to do that. You see that fellow right down there, they'll say, you know what? You know, did you know? You see that look? Boy, if you knew what I know, I tell you. And they just go at telling everything they know. They don't know anything about forgiveness and grace and kindness and love. I'm talking to you, dear friend, about God's unmerited grace. He has not dealt with us after our sins. And you're looking at one happy mountain boy that he hasn't. Oh, I sure wouldn't be here tonight had God dealt with me after my sins. And you would not be here tonight had God dealt with you after your sins. But He has forgiven us of our trespasses against Him. In fact, listen to verse number 11 and 12. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Do you think I'm going to come before this congregation tonight and go to telling you everything bad about my daughters? No. If you want me to talk about my young'uns, I'm going to tell you everything good I know about. I just mention one thing right after another. And then I'll bring out my pictures and let you see them. And I'll tell you about my oldest and about get out of school. And my youngest one, how she thinks she's so grown up. And she's a pretty thing. And boy, I just go right on and on and on and on bragging on her. And I want to tell you tonight, so it is that our Heavenly Father, He's not interested in our past corruptions. He's celebrating our salvation in His Son. Our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, so that He removed our transgressions. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone, and when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone, they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Oh, yes. I'm free, free indeed. The unmerited grace of God, if not dealt with us after our sins, the unmeasurable grace of God, as high as the heaven is above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, you can't measure God's grace in tenderly dealing with subjects like you and me. I'm talking about our Heavenly Father and His tenderness, His tender compassion, His tender conduct. Then the remaining verses in this section of the psalm remind us of His tender consideration. I love that little word in verse 14, for He knoweth. He has a tender consideration towards His people. Now, you know people who aren't very considerate of you. We all have bumped into people who didn't think we were as wonderful as we thought we were. And consequently, we were not in their consideration very much. You ever meet people on the road and wave at them, and they happen to see something out there in the field they didn't even know it was you? Not very considerate. But oh, we have a Heavenly Father who, instead of turning His back towards us, turns His face towards us. And the Bible says in verse 14, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. These verses have something to say about our frailty. And yet God, in a tender sort, considers our frailty. He's not going to put more on you than you can handle. He's not going to bring burdens too great for you to carry. He is not going to bring you into situations to watch you collapse and then celebrate it. I knew you couldn't handle it. I've been waiting for something like that to happen. No, that's not the way of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father considers our frailty. He knows that we're but dust. He's aware of our frame and our formation. He knows what you can handle, and He knows what I can handle.
this dear man. And this blessed me too, because I knew where I was going. See, that's one advantage of preaching. You know where you're headed, at least. Unless the Lord changes the direction of the service. But he was a father with 10 children. Now, I know that these are precious children. We've been around them here several times, and we appreciate this family, but there's no way that father can deal with each one of those children the same way. One has a personality, another a different personality. One has a certain ability, another may be lesser gifted or greater gifted. And so you put responsibilities on the children as they can handle them. You don't put more on one and then laugh because he or she failed. But you see your responsibility in their lives. So I want to tell you, dear friend, we are frail. Every one of us are frail. And some of us know how frail we are. But I say to you tonight, God's not going to put more on you than you can handle. He's not going to put more on me than I can handle. He knows exactly my load quality. He knows your ability to stand in the gap. And I'm saying tonight, for that Christian who feels like they've got too much and they can't go any further, God's not going to put too much on you. Now, you may have got yourself in some messes that you'll have to back out of, but God never has put anything on you that's going to be too heavy for you to bear. I believe it was Dr. Ed McAbee that I heard say, "He who knows our load limit graciously limits our load." I say our Father has a tender consideration towards our frailty. Look at these next verses. We're not only told of His consideration of our frailty, but of His consideration of our family. Verse 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them." Somebody said, "Well, my children just turned out wrong." Well, don't abandon hope. God has not forgotten your prayers. God has not lost awareness of your burden and your tears. He may not do it in your lifetime. He may do it in your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. But our God considers our families, those who fear Him and those who do His commandments and those who keep His covenant. I tell you, if you want to live right and you want to do right, you don't have to keep your fingernails eating off into the quick about your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren somewhere down the road. If you've done what's right before God, not what's right before everybody else, but what's right before God, somewhere down the road, God is going to remember your prayers, Mama. God is going to remember your tears, Daddy. God is going to come to your aid. It was 400 years after God made His promise to Abraham that He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. But He did keep His word. 400 years later, but He did the job. It wasn't Abraham that went out. And it wasn't Isaac or Jacob or Joseph that went out, but it was their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and their great-great-great-grandchildren. The Bible says that God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children. Oh, that God would help us quit embracing judgment and go to embracing compassion and tenderness. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us. Deal with us tenderly after your loving kindness. I say that He considers our frailty. He considers our family. Watch it now. He considers our future. Verse 19.
Somebody said, well, what's going to happen? Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Everything's going to work out all right. Because the Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens. And His kingdom ruleth over all. God has considered our future. His throne is fixed. His kingdom is supreme. Brother Kelly said it's pretty hard to lose when God made you a winner. Is that right? I want to say, dear friend, we're on the winning side. Quit moaning and groaning. Quit sighing and pining. Look unto Him who is our heavenly Father and has tender feelings towards His people. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's our heavenly Father. I read the story of the burning of Epworth. In that terrible night of distress, a little man and his wife hastened to get the children out of the house as the house was burning. All they had was in the house. They worked and worked and thought they had all the children out. And then the father heard one of his boys calling from upstairs, Father! Father! And he rushed to see if he could get to him with no success. He hurried outside and heard again little John crying, Father! Father! And he got men around him and they formed a human ladder. And they went up to the upstairs window and rescued little John right before the roof fell in. That little boy's parents were named Samuel and Susanna, and he became the renowned preacher John Wesley. And his father came to his aid to get him out of the fire. There was a time when I was locked in my sin. I didn't have a way out. But somehow, by the work of the blessed Holy Spirit, I found myself crying, Father! Father! He did not make just a human ladder, but he made a ladder of grace. Not going up, but coming down. And the Lord Jesus came down to where I was and lifted me up out of my sin and out of my fiery prison. I say to you tonight, I'm here because of the tenderness of our heavenly Father. Without hesitancy, without reluctance, I honor Him tonight with this great title. Father! Father! Oh, He pities me in my failures. He pities me in my ignorance. He pities me in my embarrassment. He pities me in my waywardness. He pities me in my carnality. He pities me in my flops and my disobedience. He pities me when I'm trying to preach His message. He pities me when I'm trying to serve Him faithfully. He pities me when I'm praying. He pities me when I'm reading His Word. He pities me from everlasting to everlasting. He has a tender pity for His people.
May the Holy Ghost help us to come to appreciate in a more precious way our God as our Heavenly Father. Oh, that the Spirit of the Lord would even make impressions tonight. Would you stand with me, please?